Hey everyone, and welcome to Gen Zero, Pokemon Movie Podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Doug.
And before we start this episode, we gotta really talk about the elephant in the room, because it includes the title. Pronunciation of Pokemon. Because we've talked about that before, where, like, you mentioned the Gyarados-Gyarados thing, which is still completely baffling to me that anyone would use Gyarados. But both of us, I think, use the pronunciation of Arceus.
Yes.
Okay. But during the entire movie, they call it Arceus. So we're definitely going to use Arceus, even though technically the Pokemon is called Arceus in the movies. Speaking of Arceus, what was the title of this one?
Arceus and the Jewel of Life.
Yep. So let's get right into it. No short again this week. It's kind of a bummer, but this one was 2 hours long. Oh no, it was only an hour and a half long. It felt like 2 hours long. It was a really long movie, it felt like to me. But
Still a decent movie.
Yeah,
but anyway, we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Okay. It starts off with another new intro. This one's all about bubbles. The legendaries seem to like their bubbles, so I guess that makes sense.
You got some DNA, little swirls in the background.
Yeah. And then it goes, the intro starts talking about the fact that there might be hundreds or even thousands of Pokemon, alluding to the fact that we could go over 700.
Someday soon, one day there will be that 1,000th Pokemon.
Yeah, I hope when they do that, it'll be an even 1,000 for that.
Like, for that generation?
Yeah.
Do you think that would end up like in the game being like 990 whatever, and then that being like Hoopa or any of the later released Pokemon introduced into it?
Yeah, I think a mythical legendary would be number 1,000.
Just probably. Introduced after after launch.
Like it would be 999, and then you know number 1,000 is going to show up. We get a little shot of a bunch of the legendaries that show up, not really alluding to the movies per se. Like Lugia is there, and so is Manaphy.
But they show like
Ho-Oh.
Yeah, they show the large groups of usually the trios.
Raikou finally fucking makes a movie appearance for 2 seconds, which I thought was awesome. But obviously, it doesn't get any real screen time, and a real Entei, as far as we know. It starts talking about Dialga and Palkia again, which is kind of interesting because this is the third movie in a row that deals with at least Dialga and Palkia. And it specifically mentions them. I mean, like, their fight in Alamos Town and whatnot.
Turns out that movie, as well as the Giratina movie and this movie, are in a sort of a trilogy.
Yeah.
They're all interconnected.
It's the first time. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, honestly, before this, they'd never even referenced other specials or movies in others. But now we have three that are specifically mentioned and connected.
Yeah. We get to see some weird egg thing, and then it shows a black hole with Arceus in the center of it, and Arceus is having some kind of weird flashback about being attacked, and seems really mad, and then says something like, the humans are going to be judged, or something like that. They're going to get their judgment.
Going to bring humanity to justice.
Okay, there you go. Then we get a weird flyover for the title card, where it's going over this weird ground. It's half CG, half photorealistic. And then it makes this weird plateau thing. And then we get the title card of Arceus and the Jewel of Life. Then we're introduced to Ash and Company. Still Dawn with this one. They're going through a cornfield. And they finally make it to Machina Town. Or Machina City,
Machina.
Yeah, it's M-I-C-H-I-N-A. I actually had to look it up because they're really bad at pronouncing the movie or the names in these movies. And instantly, Ash summons all of his Pokemon.
Of course, because, you know, like, but they weren't going to get any other chance for him to do it throughout this movie, so get it out of the way.
Yeah. Then they take a swim in the river for whatever reason. I guess to cool off after their long walk.
First thing they do when you get to a new town, people, strip down and go swimming in the river.
Yeah.
First river you find.
And as they're swimming in the river, a bunch of watermelons float by, and they're about to eat them, or I guess just open them up, and two kids show up claiming the watermelons. Apparently they got loose from their little net that they had where they were cooling them off. But the kids say that Ash and Dawn can keep the watermelons if they fight them in a tag battle. This is where we get our theme song.
Of course.
Seemed a lot slower than normal. Like, it took a while to pick up the theme.
I kind of liked it.
It wasn't bad. It just seemed
It wasn't as hyper as usually the action, you know, fighting intros are.
Right, yeah. A lot more low energy. But it wasn't bad.
You know, we're back to, you know, the standard opening of, we get a musical over thing of Ash fighting someone. Right.
And the kids had a Heracross and a Beautifly. Which, of course, they won and got their watermelons and everyone's eating and all that. And then the kids talk about taking them to the ruins, which is like the tourist trap. While they're going up to the ruins, they stop by a lake, and a wormhole opens up at the edge of the lake, or in the middle of the lake, and tries to suck up everyone, including almost all the water in the lake. It starts to dry out. Piplup and Pikachu actually get sucked into near the wormhole. And two other, trainers show up. They're not really trainers, exactly.
They're not trainers. They're explained later as the guardians of these ruins.
Right, yeah, the guardians of the ruins. That's what they were.
But, yeah, it's kind of strange that anyone in this world doesn't have any Pokemon.
Right, and they even call Pikachu a thunder creature, and Ash is its creature master. Yeah, they're real weird because the female then summons Dialga, who shows up and saves Pikachu and Piplup and closes the wormhole. Giratina then shows up and attacks Dialga because it's not fucking done with it yet. The female character who summoned Dialga tries to pray and, I guess, calm down Giratina, but it doesn't work. Giratina is too pissed off because Dialga done fucked up. Ash then tries to stop Giratina by running into the lake, which works. Giratina kind of looks down. And
Ash's charging plan actually works for once.
Yeah. Giratina has a little flashback.
Derpiest looking flashback ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he recognizes Ash and, you know, it's like, oh, wait, I can't kill this kid.
Yeah. After Giratina kind of calms down after seeing Ash, the lady prays again. And talks to Dialga, Giratina, and it finally calms down and lets Dialga go. Apparently, her name is Sheena, and the male character next to her is Kevin.
He's pointless.
Yes, he doesn't do shit during this movie. He's less useful in this movie than Team Rocket is.
Ouch, that's harsh.
Yeah, but Sheena herself can connect to the hearts of Pokemon somehow. She transcends time and space. Is what she says, and connects with the hearts of Pokemon, is able to communicate with even the ones that can't actually speak English.
So she's the Dr. Doolittle of Pokemon.
Right, exactly. Giratina's like, alright, I'm out. I guess we're good. And then Sheena and Kevin explain that a thunder creature and the creature master, changed the fate of the town. After this, obviously, Brock has to hit on Sheena because they're out of danger and she's a cute girl. She's alright. I mean, she's a girl that's not the female companion, so Brock has, like, a contractual obligation to hit on her. But once again, he gets Brock blocked by the Krogunk, who poison jabs him in his gut.
Almost him somewhere else.
Yeah. Another wormhole opens up then, cutting a tree down and blowing it towards Dawn, who almost gets knocked down. And this is where Kevin displays his only bit of usefulness, is that he saves Dawn from being hit by a tree.
And soon after, they're saved by Palkia, who suddenly emerges from nowhere and...
Well, it's the god of space, so it can pretty much show up wherever it wants. It helps close off this wormhole. It also saves Dialga in the process. Which means Dialga and Palkia are finally cool. They're not attacking each other anymore.
Right now.
They then both leave, and this is where we get, I think, our first scene of Team Rocket.
Second scene. We saw them during the fight scene.
Oh, right.
They were flying around on a little pedal glider.
Right, and they crash because of Jesse. But yeah, Jesse wants to be able to sync like Sheena can, so she grabs Meowth and starts staring at him. It doesn't really do anything, except she sees her reflection in his gold coin and starts ogling at herself. And that's Team Rocket. I mean,
they're here in this movie, once again, for lame off jokes.
Yeah, really bad comic relief.
at one point they make you think that they're going to be useful in this movie, and
they lie.
Yeah,
they lie. But Action Company finally get into the ruins.
Can we talk about the ruins exactly right now?
Okay, sure.
How they're not, like, when we're describing these ruins, they're not just like ruins of Alf or something, like on the ground level
right.
of something. Now, they're well outside the town. You can see the town, but you're not in the town.
Right.
But they're also at the edge of a lake.
Yeah.
The ruins are at the top of
a plateau.
Yeah. A giant plateau on the other side of this lake, built into the side of the plateau at the very edge.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of Mount Olympus, in a way. Yeah, they finally get into the bowels of the ruins. And apparently Sheena and...
Kevin.
Like you said, they're the guardians of these ruins, so they're here a lot. And they show Ash and everyone else this... What they call the time and space axis. It's basically... It's kind of like one of those weird abstract solar system gyroscope things.
Astrolabe, I think they're called?
Astrolabe. But yeah, it's like one of those. It's got five or six spinning balls. One is egg-shaped with a smaller ball inside of it. That represents Arceus. There are two other ones floating around the egg. One's blue, one's purple. They represent Dialga and Palkia's dimension. There's a smaller, like, light blue one circling below them, which is representative of Giratina. And then there's a big green one at the base, which represents the planet that they all live on. And apparently this shows Sheena and Kevin whenever there's a disturbance in the time-space continuum. And then they try to travel there and fix it, whatever. I should mention that these aren't, like, how to describe them. They're not solid spheres. They're made up of a bunch of smaller balls so that they can fluctuate and, like, ebb and flow. It's pretty cool. I thought it looks really cool.
As far as, you know, actually very little Pokemon tech in this movie, this is actually really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
it looks nifty. It doesn't really offend the senses in any real way. I think we finally found a movie that we can watch without just groaning all the time.
Now, Kevin and Sheena had, as we said, been watching any of the disturbances in reality.
Right.
And they've actually shown their versions of the flashbacks of them from the previous two movies going to each of the events that we've watched in those movies.
Right. They went to Alamos Town to watch Dialga and Palkia fight. They didn't quite make it. They were outside the city limits when it got captured and all that. But they were there. And they were also... Where did they end
at the
up?
Glacier. They,
oh, right, yeah.
They where went Zero's to, craft was frozen.
Right, yeah, they went there to check on that. I guess they were a little too late at the flower garden.
They're really good at being late.
Yeah. But then they use, I guess it's also the time and space axis, to explain the legend of what happened with Arceus, which is a really cool method of conveying storyline. It's basically three waterfalls that have projectors, I guess, behind them that allow them to show, like, scenes.
If I was stupid rich, that would be my TV.
Yeah, it's really cool, but it's really hard to describe. It's basically using a waterfall as a projector.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and they explain that early, like, long time ago, there was a giant meteor headed towards the planet, and Arceus stopped it.
With his face.
Yeah, it slammed itself into it.
Use the ash method.
Yeah. And in doing so, it lost all of its plates, which circle around it. Its plates are basically... There are one for each element of Pokemon. And when it uses one, it turns to that element so it can absorb that type and whatnot.
It's Arceus's, you know...
Special
gimmick.
Thing. Yeah, it's like Deoxys's meteorites or whatnot.
Yeah.
Changing forms. But when it stopped the meteor, all the plates fell off of it. And without its plates, it won't survive. So a man named Damos, returned the plates, which allowed Arceus to revive. And when Arceus woke up, he looked around and saw that the land where Damos was living was basically a wasteland. So Arceus gave Damos what, five plates? Water, grass, ground, electric, and dragon. Yeah, five.
Yeah.
He took those five, combined them into a jewel called the Jewel of Life. Woo, the title.
Oh, they said the title.
Yeah. He gave that to Deimos, and Deimos used that to turn the wasteland into what Machina is now. Deimos was supposed to give the jewel back at the next solar eclipse, but he didn't. He tricked Arceus and attacked him.
Dropped the ceiling on him.
Yeah. Tried to create a cave-in. Arceus was really mad about this, obviously. It destroyed the shrine. And then had to leave because it was weakened, obviously, after it got attacked. Arceus then left and went to sleep and vowed to come back and wreak its revenge and bring justice to the humans. After telling them that and showing them the little cutscene, Sheena then walks over and says, oh, I have the Jewel of Life still, so whenever Arceus does come back, we can give it to him. Because, obviously, Sheena is a descendant of Deimos. We then get to see Team Rocket, who want to steal the jewel, obviously, for themselves and get rich off it. The next scene is Arceus showing up, and it wastes no time. After it shows up, it instantly casts Judgment.
Judgment is a signature move.
And starts raining meteors from the sky like...
Judgment!
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's Judgment Day for...
It reminded me a lot of Super Boo's, what was it, Human Extinction Attack?
Yeah, it looks a lot like that, yeah.
Except, you know, more explosions and less instant vaporization.
Right. Oh, I have to mention something we haven't mentioned yet since it's happened, but I think most of the voice acting here has gotten a lot better. Like, Ash's, I can barely notice, like, offensively. Brock's still comes and goes.
Yeah.
Like, he has his moments.
He had occasional moments where I was kind of like, eh.
Yeah. So, I gotta commend them that the main cast is pretty good for now. Like, it's not nearly as bad as it was when it started.
But I'd also like to bring up that while the main cast is okay, there's one specific voice in this
Meowth.
Movie. Well, he's one specific voice from this movie specifically that I did not like at all.
That's why I brought this up. Arceus. Arceus's voice acting is awful. He sounds like a whiny emo kid.
Yeah.
It's bad.
For being the god of Pokemon, he doesn't sound like you would expect a god of Pokemon to sound.
Right. It sounds super whiny. That's why I brought that up. Yeah, because its voice acting is terrible. Sheena then runs out with the jewel in hand and gives it to Arceus. And Arceus kind of looks at it and goes, no, that ain't mine, and just smashes it into pieces. It's like, yeah, it's part of me. I wouldn't be smashed like that. So that was a fake. You're an asshole. Fuck you. And Sheena tries to sync with it, but as we've seen with Giratina, when a Pokemon is too mad, Sheena can't connect with it. Arceus then uses some kind of super hyper beam and blows a hole in the ground, which Team Rocket falls into, obviously.
And they do their little, we're blasting off again as they're swept away by a river.
Right, they say we're blasting off again, but they're falling down a waterfall. They're not really blasting.
It's Team Rocket.
I like to think that the original Team Rocket died when the voice actor stopped voicing them, and this is a different version of Team Rocket, and they're still trying to figure out what the old Team Rocket was like.
So Team Rocket actually consists of nothing but Jesse and James in grunt uniforms?
Yeah, shitty clones. After a few more of these hyper beams, Dialga and Palkia show up to protect them. Arceus also attacks them because it's super pissed, and anyone protecting humans is going to suffer the same fate as the humans, basically. After a few fights where basically Dialga and Palkia aren't doing shit to Arceus because it can switch plates and absorb their attacks, Pikachu attacks it because, you know, Ash has to be part of that. Which works because Arceus doesn't have the electricity plate. The ones it lost again was water, grass, ground, electric, and dragon. This doesn't really do much except for, like, piss off Arceus. It's like, ow, oh, well, fuck you then. And it attacks at Pikachu, but then Giratina shows up and starts attacking Arceus. Once again, this doesn't do anything. It's able to change plates, but it distracts Arceus enough that Ash and his group can get away.
They get away in one specific way.
Yeah, exactly. Dialga decides to send them all back in time. Well, I say them all of them except Kevin, which begs to make you wonder, why the fuck did Kevin exist in this movie in the first place? Like, he can't do anything. He doesn't go back in time.
He's a very inconsequential character. They could have done this entire movie without him.
Yeah. He literally, the only thing he ever actually does is save Dawn from that tree, and that didn't need to be in the movie in the first place. He's probably the most inconsequential character in any Pokemon movie, including most Team Rocket appearances.
Honestly, like, yeah.
At least they make jokes and stuff. Kevin just kind of looks confused in a few scenes. So, like I said, Dialga sends all of them except Kevin back in time, and they realize that they're back to when the first solar eclipse happened. The solar eclipse when Arceus was supposed to return. Arceus then shows up for his Jewel of Life like he wants, and Damos, I can't remember the exact pronunciation, invites Arceus into the temple to give him the Life Jewel. Which is weird, because he, like, shows it to him. It's like, I have it right here. Come in.
I invite you in.
Yeah. Oh.
They're friends at this point, so I assume it's one of those, you know, I'm not just gonna, you know, say hi to you on the doorstep and give you what you want and leave.
Yeah. You want a drink?
Yeah, exactly. Come in, enjoy my hospitality.
Right. But as soon as Arceus gets into the, like, main chamber, Damos summons a whole shit ton of Pokemon to attack Arceus.
And when you say summon, you don't actually mean, like, call out Pokeball.
No, this is far too back in time for that to happen. They're all basically in a Colosseum-type area with a bunch of, like, areas for spectators around the top. But instead of spectators, there's just a shit ton of Pokemon that use electric attacks, apparently. Which it confuses me because I saw a bunch of Claydol in there, and I know they're, like, ground psychic, so it doesn't make much sense. But they all attack Arceus, and then
they drop a chandelier on
him. Yeah, they drop the ceiling on him, basically.
Which explains the giant crack in the ruins.
Right. At this point, there is something I want to point out. There's another legendary here. Heatran, like, is just standing there next to this weird Solrock head-looking dude.
Honestly, I didn't see it the first time until you had actually mentioned it.
Well, it's Heatran. I like Heatran. I thought that was really weird. It's just kind of chilling there. It does do more stuff later, but at this point, I was like, wait, are they just going to, like, give you a glimpse of another legendary and not let it do anything? Because right after the cave-in happens, Arceus uses its power to cause an even worse cave-in, which causes Damos, the other guy who's standing next to him, the Heatran, and the Bronzong that's standing next to them to fall.
Standing.
Well, yeah, floating. They all fall even further in the cave-in. This also causes Ash and his little group to collapse. And they start falling, but Dialga saves them.
Sending them further back.
Right.
Somehow he knew they were falling.
Then we also get to see when Dialga sends them back, we actually get a shot of the present where Giratina and Arceus are still fighting. During this scene, we see Team Rocket again, washed up on shore, and Jesse has the staff that Damos was carrying stuck in her the back of her shirt.
Oh,
stuck down her shirt. So that's where she gets it.
I assume she picked it up with the rest of the stuff later.
Oh, we should mention that when Damos was going to give Arceus the Jewel of Life, he had two. He had the fake one, obviously, that Sheena tried to give to Arceus, and he had the real one in his staff. The other one was in this weird flower-looking thing.
That's why the staff is important.
Right.
See, now Team Rocket has the real one.
Yes. They go further back in time. Apparently, they find out that they go one day before the eclipse.
It's still better than falling to their deaths.
Yeah, exactly. And then Heatran shows up again with a saddle on its back, but that's okay. At least it's Heatran. A bunch of guards and the Heatran circle them, and then someone called Master Marcus, who is the guy with the head of a Solrock. He's got weird spiky hair coming. He also uses his Bronzong that we saw before to hypnotize Ash and his little company, except for Sheena. I assume that her weird transcending time and space is what kept her from getting hypnotized.
Maybe her weird clothes he actually thought looked like their clothes, so he didn't bother with her.
Right, because she does wear the same kind of clothes that Deimos wears.
Yeah.
So she then explains that they're from the future, which was always a dangerous thing to do. You should probably never say that to people. But we also see spiky-eared Pichu, which I thought was cool. Only for a few seconds, though. And then we see Pikachu and Piplup getting dropped into basically a Pokemon jail cell with a bunch of other Pokemon.
It's essentially Professor Oak's lab before Professor Oak's lab.
Yeah.
There's no Pokeballs, so...
The Pokemon don't look too happy either.
And they all look asleep.
Yeah, they all have saddles and stuff on their backs and stuff, and the Mainectric kind of threatens them. But then that Pichu shows up and talks to Pikachu. They do the tail touch where they talk through electricity. Piplup tries to do this.
Gets electrocuted.
Adorably, but yeah, it doesn't really help. Ash and his group, except for Sheena, just Ash, Dawn, and Brock get put into a regular-ass human jail, where the old guard explains that Sheena is up talking to Marcus. Then they find out that Deimos is also in jail here.
Convenient.
Yeah. Ash basically yells at him because of what he's about to do, and Deimos is like, no, that's why I'm in jail. It's because I didn't want to do that exactly thing that you're saying that I did. Ash then convinces Deimos that they're from the future by showing Deimos a Pokeball and how it works, which is a bad idea. You don't show future tech to past people.
How is it working without power?
Oh yeah, it's not connected to the Pokeball network like in fucking the Deoxys movie.
How is it working? Why is Pokeball the stupid Pokemon tech of this movie?
Yeah, that's sad. The stupidest Pokemon tech is the only thing we always accept. Also, after this little exchange with Deimos, we see Sheena trying to reason with Marcus, trying to tell him that Arceus is going to get really pissed and you're going to ruin the future if you do this.
Mind you, she also doesn't know Marcus has anything besides being there to do with it. She still thinks
Deimos is the
one who's going to do it.
Right.
So Marcus is playing innocent at this point.
Yeah.
And
after that short scene, we get a scene of Pikachu, Pichu, and Piplup freeing a Chikorita and a Cyndaquil from the kitchens. Chikorita is cutting up a big onion or root vegetable, and obviously Cyndaquil is stoking the fire with a human master kind of egging them on, like they're slaves more than they're... After that, we get to see the kitchen in the present, because Team Rocket end up in that kitchen.
There was a scene in the kitchen where, when they were trying to get the human to go out of the kitchen, essentially, right, where they knocked over a bunch of pots and Piplup had a pot on his head. Essentially, Team Rocket find those things. They believe them to be rare treasures and helmets and hats.
Right.
So they start wearing them. Jesse puts on the head of a man catcher, which the soldier had, thinking it's a tiara.
Yeah.
And in general, they're doing dumb stuff, which...
Yeah, bad joke.
Yeah, as you said, it's Team Rocket stuff.
Yeah. We then get to see a flashback from Deimos, basically explaining exactly what happened with Arceus when that meteor was falling. There's really no new information here, except we actually get to see it, and it looks really cool. The meteor is a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. It definitely looks like it could have ruined the planet.
Okay. That was more of an Armageddon meteor.
Yeah.
It had all the tiny, small meteors accompanying it.
Yeah. Apparently, Deimos can also do the sync thing, which makes sense because Sheena's a descendant of him. He finds the plate, brings them back. He only has to bring one back for them all to kind of gravitate back to Arceus. Arceus revives and, does the whole thing where he sees Machina as this desolate wasteland and gives the Jewel of Life to Deimos, who uses it to make the place flourish. The next scene is Marcus once again talking to Sheena, who... It seems like Marcus is convinced. He's like, okay, we're not going to fucking do this. We'll give him the real jewel. Here, you give him the jewel. But he swaps them. He actually gives Sheena the fake jewel, and he keeps the real one. The next scene is Pikachu, Piplup, and Pichu trying to get the jail cell key. but they can't reach, and then a little Totodile waddles in and helps them out. So we get to see the three starters for this gen before, if I'm not mistaken. That's Hoenn, right?
Yeah.
Or is that the second gen? No, it's the... No.
They're second gen.
Yeah, they're second gen. This is gen 4.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're two behind on this one. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if this came out right before the remakes came out. Before Soul and Gold. Soul and Heart.
Maybe.
And that's why they had the starters.
Huh. Could be. That would make sense. That's actually really, really good theory.
It would have been better if we had thought about that and checked earlier.
Yeah. Well, someone will correct us.
I'm sad this Totodile does not dance.
Yeah, me too. It's obviously not Ash's Totodile. It's way too old. But I thought it was pretty... I mean, Totodile always looks kind of happy. It's always got that gormless look on its face. So I like Totodiles. Then we get a scene in the present. Still, Arceus and Giratina are fighting, but Jessie realizes she has the jewel. She stops suddenly and slams the staff down, and it opens the top, revealing the jewel. And apparently, the next scene is Damos and Ash in jail with the rest of them, and Pichu shows up from a loose, like, rock in the floor, and apparently the Pichu belonged to Damos. So Damos had a Pichu, and Ash has his Pikachu back, and Dawn has her Piplup. Pichu also has the key, obviously.
Why didn't they use any of the other Pokemon just to break out?
Because Ash is dumb. Yeah, like, he could have used what's the fire? Infernape. He could have used Infernape to melt the steel if it wanted to.
Brock could have used the Sudowoodo to...
punch the gate off?
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah, they could have gotten out of there really easily.
They had so many powerful Pokemon.
You know what? Maybe they didn't want to hurt the guard, the old man guard.
The old man guard was pretty chill.
Yeah. So they just waited for the key. I think he's sleeping when they actually escape, so...
No, he is awake.
Oh, he just kind of... Just...
He actually, if you watch him, he actually looks away from them.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I like that guy. He was always chill.
He is the dugong of guards.
Yes. No, and Damos actually gives him the key back, which is cool. But it is now the solar eclipse. Arceus shows up. Like he does, and instead of Damo showing up here, Sheena shows up to give him the jewel. Once again, Arceus comes into the Colosseum-like area. Sheena opens the staff to give him the jewel, and it's not there. Then the Pokemon that attacked Arceus in the previous time travel scene attack him. But instead of being actually in the Colosseum, he's over a pool of water this time instead, which opens up in showing a really big pit. And
they dump, what is it, silver water, yeah, they call it, on him?
Marcus orders the guards to dump silver water on Arceus, which could be mercury, like that quick dries somehow. It kind of looks like molten lead to me, but it doesn't seem to be giving off any kind of heat. Or it could be concrete because of the way it dries.
Yeah, it acts like concrete. It looks like mercury. It's silver water.
Yeah. I guess if we had to nitpick dumb Pokemon tech, the silver water would be the worst of it. But if it's just a weird name for concrete, then whatever.
Yeah.
What else do they call weird? Oh, right. They call trainers. Pokemon magical creatures, and they call Pokemon trainers creature masters. So, yeah. They have really weird
words for everything. It's old-timey.
Yeah. But like we said, it acts like concrete, so Arceus gets its legs stuck, and they keep pouring the stuff in, slowly rising the level. So it's if they keep going, it's going to get, I guess, drowned.
Yeah. So essentially, their way to stop Arceus from freaking out and destroying the cave, thus killing Marcus, as, you know, now he knows what the future holds for him.
Right.
They... Instead of caving in on him, they're going to seal him in concrete.
Right, exactly. The silver water almost kills Sheena, but Damos rescues her, and they kind of do a little sync up where they both sync with each other instead of a Pokemon. Obviously, I think they realize at this point that Damos realizes that she is a descendant of his. Ash decides to go after Marcus, and Dawn follows. Pikachu and Piplup fight Heatran and Bronzong. They don't really win very much.
It's a pretty even match, actually, between them.
they don't get anywhere with it.
No.
But Marcus is starting to have the upper hand when Chikorita, Cyndaquil, Totodile, and a random group of Rattatas show up.
It's a horde battle.
Yeah, I get the starters because obviously Pikachu met them before, but the Rattata kind of confused me. Like, there's like six of them that are just kind of in it for the fight, I guess.
They're Joey's Rattata.
Yeah, they're the top percentile.
That's where they showed up.
It's nice to see Heatran actually get some action, because I thought he was going to be just kind of a throwaway thing. But it's weird. It like climbs on the walls and stuff like a spider.
Yeah, that
I never really understood that.
I wouldn't have thought that Heatran could like cling to things like that. I imagined him more so being a slow thing that kind of just waddled across the ground.
Yeah, and I also expected it to be a little bit bigger. Like, it's pretty big, but I thought legendary size.
I just think of that Simpsons episode when they're in Australia, when Homer asks for a beer, he gets that huge barrel. Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah. After realizing that the Pokemon battle is basically a stalemate, Ash decides to have fisticuffs with Marcus. Good old-fashioned human Pokemon battle. He grabs Marcus's wrist and causes him to drop the Jewel of Life. It falls down some weird steps and almost drops, but Ash kind of leaps to his death at this point, because I didn't see a way out of it. He does catch the jewel with his feet, and Pikachu kind of comes down and gets it.
I don't believe Ash would have actually been able to do that.
No, there was no way. It was ridiculous for him to even try, but I mean, it's Ash, so what do you expect? Deimos then tries to sync with Arceus to, I guess, calm it down, but it's way too pissed off. And while that's going on, I should mention that the silver water is basically up to Arceus's head at this point. It's almost covering its head. Ash, after acquiring the Jewel of Life, brings it down to Arceus, but the only thing left is, like, its little tail part of its head and its, like, spike ring.
Yeah, he's talking to Arceus's butt, essentially, at this point.
And obviously Arceus isn't responding to this. Deimos is still trying to sink, and he's, like, slowly floating, mentally floating towards Arceus, and Arceus is pushing him back with the power of his rage, and he eventually does make it to Arceus and, like, touch its head. But while he's doing that, Ash and everyone who traveled back in time with him are getting back to the future. They're all kind of fading out of existence because Arceus is dying, therefore not... If Arceus is dead, it doesn't go into the future, or it doesn't survive to come back to fight Dialga, Palkia, and Giratina to cause Dialga to send them into the past. So they're not necessary, so they're getting erased. The time travel in this is really wonky.
Time travel in anything is really wonky.
Yeah, some places do it right, but this is pretty bad. But like I said, Deimos does eventually make a connection with Arceus. This causes Arceus to calm down. The Jewel of Life then splits into its respective plates to join Arceus
in his concrete prison.
Right. Ash and his party get un-back to the future. They start to re-solidify. A giant pillar of light shoots out of where Arceus was. Another cave-in starts. Marcus is presumed dead at this point, because he falls into the cave-in. Everyone else starts to fall, but Arceus stops time, essentially, and puts everyone right. All the Pokemon gets put back on the ground. Ash and his party get safely put back onto the ground. All the fallen rubble gets destroyed, and all of the harnesses that the Pokemon were being forced to wear also get destroyed. Then we get a scene of Marcus's little head band. I guess that was what was controlling the other Pokemon, maybe?
I figured he was just controlling them out of, you know, sheer, you know, I'm your master kind of thing.
Maybe. But that's all we see of Marcus at this point. All of the... Oh, no. The Arceus kind of says, okay, I'm kind of worn out after saving everybody. I'm going to go away. I'll come back some other time. Thank you for giving my jewel back. Bye-bye. After this, they say their goodbyes to Damos because Dialga started to call them back. They get that little, like, transporter sheen above the, around them. And they're like, okay, we gotta go. See you later. When they finally come back, Arceus is still fighting, which doesn't really make sense. But then Arceus sees Ash. All of the memories of what just happened kind of start flooding back to him. And then he stops all of the attacks. And then basically history starts to reset itself in a way. Like the ruins that were destroyed when Arceus attacked Damos when he was tricked. They all get repaired. As history is rebooting. The ground, all the destroyed ground looks better. All of
Giratina, Dialga, and Pacquiao are back to normal. They're not all beat up anymore.
Yeah, they're all healed. After, like you said, Dialga, Pacquiao, and Giratina get back to normal, they leave. They go back to their respective dimensions. Then, I think it's Dawn sees, or maybe it's Kevin. Oh, we should also mention that the Jewel of Life that Jesse had gets destroyed. Because, obviously, Arceus already has the Jewel of Life as the five plates inside of him. Ah, yeah, it is Kevin. Kevin then sees a new structure, a small, like, stone plaque with basically a kind of a hieroglyphic cave painting style picture of Ash and everyone, including Damos, giving the Jewel of Life back to Arceus, and he leaves a little message for all of them. He calls them the future children, which is kind of weird.
Like I said, everyone back then was calling everything really weird things.
Yeah. Arceus then, you know, says, okay, well, I'm kind of tired now too, so I'm going to head out. Thanks for all this, and goodbye. There's one thing I should mention that we didn't mention at all. Why Marcus wanted to keep the Jewel of Life. When Arceus gave it to Damos, it helped, like we said, it helped Machina flourish and thrive. And everyone else thought that when Arceus took the Jewel of Life back, Machina would turn back into the wasteland that it was beforehand. I'm pretty sure they explained that that was unnecessary, because after it was flourishing, as long as they kept up with it, it would be fine. And even when Arceus, everything gets set back to normal, Arceus says something along the lines of, your ancestors worked really hard with their Pokemon, and because of that, Machina flourished. So it was completely unnecessary for them to hold on to the Jewel of Life like they wanted to. So, just a lot of miscommunication. Then we get the staring off into the sunset thing that we always get at the end. And then the credits roll. We find out pretty late on that Marcus is still alive. He's working with Damos. He's in, like, tatters. He's in, like, peasant clothes. So he's probably,
He was working the fields.
Yeah. We then get to see clips of both Altimos with Darkrai and Alice. And we also get to see Zero, who is in jail. And what was that guy's name?
We get to see the main characters from the last two movies. Two movies.
Two movies.
And Shaman.
Yeah, Shaman's there too.
Shaman was there too.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I can say for that. And that's Arceus and the Jewel of Life. So let's, before we actually start to say anything, let's get right into our reviews, or our worst and favorites. What was your favorite Pokemon in this movie, Doug?
Well, there were a lot of legendaries. There were a lot of starters. There were a lot of really good Pokemon.
Yeah.
But honestly, I went to do something a little different this time, even though I still kind of with my, I like cute Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
I have to go with Piplup.
Okay.
It provided most of the physical comedy relief of this movie.
Yeah, it did more comic relief than Team Rocket did, at least more successful.
Yeah, it was adorable, and it just kept putting itself in situations to do really cute things.
Yeah.
It used several moves which I hadn't thought of how they would animate, like Peck and that. Like, they actually made it look usable as opposed to just, like, poking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Piplup's a good one.
What's your favorite Pokemon, if I'm going to guess?
I have two.
Okay.
Giratina, because it's even from the last movie, I really like Giratina, and in this one, it was expounded upon because every time it looked at Ash, it had this really dopey face, which I thought was adorable.
It was kind of like a puppy.
Yeah. And obviously Heatran. I really like Heatran. I have a storied history with that Pokemon.
This man loves his Heatran.
Yes. I have like 5 or 6 in different Pokeballs at this point, including a shiny Heatran, which I'm very happy with. So I had to go with Heatran, even though it was used crappily. So what was your least favorite?
I really didn't have a least favorite.
Yeah, it was really
hard. I have listed for least favorite was Arceus's voice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't blame you there.
Part of a Pokemon. Like we said earlier, his voice was just...
It was awful. It got better. Like, I feel like back in time, it was way better. But when it first showed up, it was really hard to listen to.
It's like when they first recorded it, he didn't know what he was doing with the voice, but it got better as he went on.
Yeah.
But it was still unpleasant.
Yeah, it was hard to listen to, especially for the Pokemon God.
I expected something a little like deeper or booming or... Yeah.
Something I didn't expect it to speak at all, let alone main antagonist of this movie for most of it.
All right, what was your least?
I have to go with Arceus as well. I do like the fact that, at least for the last 3 movies, they're really flipping your expectations on their head. Like I think I've said for the last 2 movies, where I expected Darkrai to be the bad guy, I expected Giratina to be the bad guy, and in this one, I expected Arceus, the god Pokemon, to be the good guy for the entire thing. But no, it was the antagonist for most of the part. I mean, Marcus near the end there became the obvious antagonist, but Arceus was wrecking shit for a good 90% of this movie, which was really confusing. But yeah, the voice acting was really bad, and I would have liked to see it do more cool stuff.
If Arceus didn't speak this entire movie, it would have had a lot less. Interactions would have been weirder. But I think it would have been... I would have felt better of Arceus.
Yeah. Like, if they just explained what it was doing for it, it would have been alright. My other worst was Heatran, actually. Because of the way it was used. I wish it had more screen time, and I wish it was used a little bit better. And they had a saddle on that thing. I would have liked to see someone riding it. It would have been hilarious.
Now, do you think they could ride it up the wall?
The way the handles were set, they weren't like footrests, they were more like hand grips, so I'm assuming that's what they were for, was for when it went up the wall so you could hold on to it better. But yeah, I didn't like it being part of the bad guy's team, and I wish it had more, like, weight to it. Like, I wish, because it's a legendary, it should have been treated as such, not as a fucking horse.
So they treated Shaman more like legendary.
Yeah. And that thing was an asshole. So what was your favorite scene in this movie?
I actually have 2, technically, for this one. The main fight between the 3 legendaries and Arceus.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. Like did with back a couple movies with Dialga versus Palkia, where it had real weight behind it. And it felt like this is a real fight.
Yeah.
This had the same thing. Yeah. Even though they were getting their asses kicked by Arceus because they couldn't do anything against him.
But it definitely felt like it had meaning. Like something was going to happen if these 3 lost and they weren't winning.
And the other thing I really liked was the connections between this movie and the last 2.
Okay.
Where they actually specifically explained that Arceus's waves from its healing and that is what initially caused the disruption from 2 movies ago that caused Palkia and Dialga, the worlds to clash, which caused that entire movie, which caused the other movie, which in turn finished with this movie.
Right. Yeah, we didn't mention that, but when Arceus was healing, that's what caused the time and space dimensions to collide, causing Palkia and Dialga to think that each other were horning in on their territory.
Essentially, Arceus caused the two movies right before this movie.
Right. My favorite was the time and space axis, that whole scene where they showed that astrolabe and the waterfall thing. I thought both of those, I mean, especially for us who are very critical of Pokemon tech and Pokemon magic, both of which are displayed in this movie. I mean, if you count the sinking as Pokemon magic, it was handled really well. Or the plates. and the life jewel, how that worked. It was explained well enough that you weren't questioning what was going on. And the sinking, I thought, was kind of weird, but it wasn't offensive in any way. So, like, it didn't stick out to me as something to gripe about. So I'm glad for that.
I completely agree with you. There was it was really cool, and there was very little. I was not offended by any of the magic or any of the tech in this movie, and I am always offended by magic, except for the Pokeballs working in the past.
Yeah,
but that's something completely different.
Yeah. If the time and space axis, the actual Astrolab version, was like 30 feet tall, like the fucking thing from the Latios and Latias movie, I would have had a problem. But it was just this cool little. It's another thing like the Ocarina and the Wish Catcher. I would actually like to have one of those. That would be really cool. Just like a model version of that.
If you had a model version of something that could tell distortions of time and space, I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in talking to
obviously
you.
Obviously not a working version, but yes. Yeah, that was my favorite scene. What was your least favorite scene?
All of the Team Rocket scenes.
Yep.
Because, let's face it, the only essential reason they're here now is because the fans expect to see Team Rocket.
Yeah.
They're staple, and that's... They're not involved in the story anymore. I mean, I like the movies where they're involved in the story. I have reason to be there.
Yeah.
This one, they don't even try to catch Pikachu. They don't show the way the characters don't know they're there.
Yeah. It's sad because, I mean, like, the best thing they did in the last movie was grab Shaman for 2 seconds. And they kind of gave us a misdirection here, or a fake out, where Jesse had the life jewel for a while. And you thought maybe like they would actually do something with it. But no, they were completely ineffectual once again. And the jokes that they do, I mean, the pot on the head with James and Meowth was kind of funny, but not enough to make up for the just complete lack of jokes. I mean, the first three movies...
Their jokes were great.
They were on point for the most part. I mean, they had a few duds, but they were all right. But as time goes on, you can see them becoming less and less useful. And it's sad because I like Team Rocket. And I want to see them be used more. And they're just making jokes among themselves and it doesn't work. The other one I had was the time travel. Because as we've seen, they go back in time. The first time they do that, they go directly to the solar eclipse. And the next time they go to the day before the solar eclipse and they stay for the solar eclipse. And if you think about it, they should have crossed paths with themselves, but they never did. So I thought that was kind of weird. And, like, time travel in any movie is really hard to do, so I understand. And I'm not really, like, pissed off about it, because the way they kind of did it in the end worked out pretty well. Like, it was all right.
Yeah.
I liked the way everything kind of reset itself and all that stuff, so I can't really harp on it too much. But, yeah, that's my biggest gripe. So
it's just different dimensions.
Yeah.
You know, just different parallel of the same timeline.
Yeah.
That's my idea. Also, you know, when it comes to time travel, I try not to think of it too hard because then that ends up happening.
Yeah, yeah. If you think about time travel, it kind of, like, especially with the, like with the Celebi movie, there's always, like, a plot hole that's going to show up no matter how good you are with it. So, all in all, what did you rate this one? From Pokeball being the worst, Great Ball being okay, Ultra Ball being really good, and Master Ball being perfect, what was your rating?
Honestly, I really, really wanted to give it a Master Ball, just because I really liked how it connected and actually caused the last several movies. The action was really good. But I just, when I thought about it, it's like, would I watch this movie again? I just thought to myself, I know what happens. It's a great movie, but I probably wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah.
Like, go out of my way to watch it again.
Right.
So, I have to end up giving it an Ultra Ball.
Yeah. We actually agree on a good movie for once. Yeah, I want an Ultra Ball in pretty much the same reason. I wanted to give it a Master Ball. It was really close, but there was just a few things, like Arceus's voice acting and a few other just minor, like, hiccups along the way. I felt it was really long, even though it was basically the same t- time as each other, all the other movies. But it just felt like a drug for some reason. But it's good. Like, I would definitely recommend, even if you have to slog through the Giratina movie, I would recommend watching all three.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, just watch all three.
Because all in all, the trilogy, I would give them at least a great ball, if not an ultra ball. I think they're all worth watching together, even if you have to slog through the Giratina movie.
It kind of sucks because that movie, Shaman specifically,
ruins that movie.
It ruins the curve of these three movies.
Yeah, because you gave the first one an ultra ball, if I'm not mistaken. I believe gave it a great ball. We both gave the Giratina movie a pokeball because of Shaman, basically. I really like Giratina in that movie, and I hate to say the Giratina movie because it sounds like I don't like Giratina, but the Shaman is what ruins that movie.
I love Giratina. Yeah. The main problem is the main character from the Giratina movie was garbage.
Yes. Exactly. It should have been Shaman is a jerk. Watch this for Giratina and Newton Graceland. There's no cool names. I mean, Sheena's alright. Damos is okay. Kyle is there. But no really awesome names like Graceland or Newton Graceland. So yeah, all in all, this is a really good movie. And if you haven't seen it and you're into the Pokemon series, give it a watch. Or give the entire trilogy a watch, even if you have to slog through the Shaman parts. It's definitely a cool trilogy, and I hope in the future we get to see more like this.
So what you're saying is it's a Shaman that's part of the series.
That's bad. And on that note, gotta thank you for listening to that and still listening now. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at genzeropodcast@gmail.com. That's G-E-N, the number zero, podcast. @gmail.com. You can find us online at genzeropodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, both at genzeropodcast. And if you want to subscribe to us in iTunes, you can find us there as genzeropodcast. And while you're there in iTunes, if you give us a rating and a little review, that would be great. Really helps us out. But until next week, see you later.
Later. You're